Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. We praise God for each and every person in Jesus' name. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Amen. We praise God for being here in Jesus' name. It is another beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Amen. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Not because you're hearing me. I didn't do it. Amen. But if you're listening to me right now, you are in the land of the living. And that is a reason to give God praise. That is the reason why you are blessed, because you are in the land of the living. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. We want to say welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show that gets your weekend started off right. Welcome to the show that where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. God bless you. Amen. First, giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name. Giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. Apostle Cook, God bless you in Jesus' name. And all of the Spirit Alive family, amen. To my pastor, Pastor William Tuggle III, amen, and my First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name, God bless you all, in Jesus' name, and unto my wife and my children, God bless you as well. And last but not very, very certainly not least, amen, to all of our listeners around the world, from the United States to Canada, to Belgium, to Italy, to Japan, to China, to everywhere around the world, we say God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, we have a phenomenal, phenomenal show, because it is resurrection. It is not resurrection. Oh, my God. It is Pentecost weekend. It is Pentecost weekend. Amen. And I am so happy for it being Pentecost weekend, because Pentecost, when you hear the word Pentecost, you think of Pentecostal, apostolic, churches and things like that. But the meaning of Pentecost is the talking about and the indwelling of when the Holy Ghost came. That is what Pentecost is. And so we are going to be talking about Pentecost. But the way the Lord is going to have me do this is in a way that it is, we're going to stay on the topic of Pentecost, but we're going to lean into why Pentecost came. Amen. And the reason for Pentecost and the Pentecostal experience. What is it? Why do we need it? What is that experience? We're going to be talking about it today. I want to start off by saying, in life, people, they go through life, people spiritually and naturally, they go through life looking for life. They go through And a lot of people that have in past, present, and in the future, they have come into this world. Are they in this world? Some or most are living in a prison. Most are living in a spiritual prison. And the only way out of this spiritual prison is to have a Pentecostal experience. Now, if we look in the Word of God, anytime Jesus brought out salvation, for example, when Jesus told Nicodemus how to receive salvation, anytime Jesus brought up salvation, he used different scenarios or different things to open man's mind up to what he was talking about. And most of the time, man was thinking he was talking in the natural, but he was actually talking in the spiritual. We can find this in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 with Nicodemus and Jesus, the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. When the Lord told Nicodemus that you must be born again, Nicodemus then took on a natural mindset. He took on a carnal mindset. He did not see it in the spirit. He took it as how is it that I'm to be born again and I'm a grown man? Must I enter into my mother's womb? I'm paraphrasing y'all. Must I enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus wasn't talking about a natural birth. He was talking about the spiritual birth. If we look at the woman at the well, this is another event that Jesus came into contact with man, and he brought out salvation. And this woman was a Samaritan woman. And back in those days, the Jews didn't have any dealings with Samaritans. Jews didn't like Samaritans. And Jesus, we know that Jesus was a Jew. And this woman was a Samaritan. And he asked her to give him drink, which was water. And this Samaritan woman came and answered Jesus. She answered him in a way that Jesus told her, well, if you had of known who was asking of drink and who it was that was asking you, you wouldn't have said what you said. Because Jesus was speaking in a spiritual sense. He wasn't talking about it in a natural sense, but this woman at the well was thinking in a natural sense. How can this man give me water and he has nothing to draw with? And Jesus began to tell her, the water that I give, you may never thirst again. Amen. This is an analogy of saying people that are spiritually thirsty, people that are spiritually hungry, will never hunger and never thirst again if we take on the Pentecostal experience. So as we look here, this right here, for the ones that are deciding to take on the Pentecostal experience, the ones that have not, the ones that have, if I could title this lesson today, we have in the world and in society, we have a life or death situation. We have a life or death situation because we have many people that are, we have some that are choosing to follow Christ. Then we have some that are on the borderline. They're in the midst of a decision. Then we have some that just say, no, I don't want to have that, a life and death situation. You might say, well, why is it a life or death situation for me to choose the Pentecostal experience? First off, the Pentecostal experience is the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling on the inside of us. It is the Pentecostal experience. That is what the day of Pentecost means. What we're going to do is we're going to look in Acts chapter 2. Let's go there real quick. And I'm going to show you what the Pentecostal experience is. In Acts chapter 2, I had the lesson all outlined and everything, but Lord is telling me to do it this way. So I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it the way the Lord gives it to me. We're going to look at the Pentecostal experience and what the Lord has outlined as the Pentecostal experience. Some people have not taken it on. In Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 1, and it reads, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the Pentecostal experience. Now, if we look along that, there is a decree to get to this Pentecostal experience. There is a decree from the Lord that the Lord gave to receive this Pentecostal experience. If we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, let's go there real quick. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And it reads, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 reads, for the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. This is the generation that we are living in now. This is what we need to save ourselves from. And many people in this life, they're searching. They have a hunger and a thirst in them. And they're so much hungering and thirsting so much that they're looking in many, many different avenues to fulfill this hunger and thirst. But the Bible says that he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Let's go to John because I'm going to show you. Let's go to John chapter 3. We already know what the Pentecostal experience is, and we already know how to receive the Pentecostal experience. Now, I'm going to show you because how the Pentecostal experience was brought here and why it was brought here, because it was a life or death situation for us as mankind. Us as mankind, we needed the day of Pentecost. Every man, woman, boy, and girl needs a day of Pentecost. They need to have that experience in their life because we were charged. We were charged. You might say, we were charged. What do you mean we were charged? A lot of people that were born into this world were charged. Were charged with a debt. We were charged with a debt because we were all born in sin. So let's go to John chapter 3. Let's go to John chapter 3 real quick. John chapter 3. And you might say, well, oh, he's going to John chapter 3, verse 16. That ain't all of it. He's going to John chapter 3, verse 16. That's not all of it. See, the Lord has some more to say in this verse. John chapter 3. Starting at verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14 reads, and no man has, oh, wait a minute, hold on. It's verse 14, I'm sorry, I started at verse 13, I am so sorry. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
It's in the bathroom.
Amen. So this means that we would have life in Jesus. Amen. We're going to have life in Jesus once we take on the Pentecostal experience.
Amen.
We'll have life in him. Now, let me show you why Jesus, it says in John 3:16, which is a very familiar passage of scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Let me show you the reason why he said this. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, man brought sin into the world. Adam brought sin into the world. And we know in the book, you might say, well, what does Romans chapter 5, verse 12 have to do with Adam? Because it talks about one man bringing sin in the world. Amen.
Amen.
But when we look in the Word of God, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it talks about Adam. Yes, we know in Genesis that we've read it about Adam sinning in the Garden of Eden. But in this verse, it talks about that. Amen. That one man brought sin into the world. And after him, the bloodline of mankind was tainted with sin. David talked about this in Psalms 51, verse number 5. He said, "In my mother's womb, from my mother's womb, I was conceived in sin." He was talking about being conceived in sin. Amen. He was shapen in iniquity. Amen. In Psalms 51, verse number 5. This is the bloodline of mankind. This is the reason why we need the day of Pentecost experience, a life or death situation. Amen. This is why we need it. We have a life and death situation going on in the world today because there are a lot of people that have been charged with sin. And they can't come out of their sinful prison because they have been charged by the bloodline of mankind. Every generation that comes into the world has been charged with sin. And the payment is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But it was God that paid that sin debt. He took our place. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Now, you might say, "Well, Brother Adam, he gave his son. He gave a body. He called that body son. And he gave that body a name, but he put his spirit in that body. And God died for the sins of mankind. Where we were supposed to be, God took our place and bought us out of the sinful debt that we were in. And he wrote out a spiritual check. He wrote out a spiritual check and gave it unto death and said, "Death, here. I'm going to pay the sin debt. I'm going to purchase these people with my own blood. I'm going to buy them out of the sin that they're in." But he not only bought us out, because the Bible says that David said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." How do we get there? How do we get that clean heart and that renew the right spirit within us? It's because of the blood-bought purchase of our salvation. Amen. Which led up to the Pentecostal experience. When he told Peter, he said he foreshadowed our salvation. He foreshadowed the Pentecostal experience by telling Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church." What was he talking about? He was talking about the day of Pentecost. I'm going to use you, Peter, to talk about the steps of salvation, and I'm going to have you preach the gospel on that day. I'm going to have you preach the Pentecostal experience on that day. That's what that verse means. Upon this rock, I will build my church. The church started on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. And ever since the book of Acts, we have had power on the earth. We have had power. We have had power to denounce sin. We have had power to tread upon serpents, to heal the sick, to have power to raise the dead.
Amen.
And it's not of our own accord that these things happen, but it's through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not only a keeper, but it is a sustainer. It is a mental You don't have to go see a psychiatrist. You might be going through a state of depression today. But you don't have to go see a psychiatrist for your mental state. All you need is the Pentecostal experience. That's why it's a life or death situation. Suicide rates can drop so low because if more people receive the Pentecostal experience, we'll have less suicides. We'll have less depression. How do I know? In Romans chapter 12, verse, it says, let this mind be transformed. He'll transform your mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it talks about the transformation of the mind. Amen. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, it starts in the mind. He transforms your mind. You don't have to go see a psychiatrist. You won't have to. I have somebody that I know right now that battles depression all the time. And one time they were talking to me, and they came to me, and they came with the woe is me's, and I just flat out told them. I'm like, wait a minute. Every day, you got something going on. Every day. Now, I said it out of love, but I just got tired of hearing, okay, every day you got something going on. Every day it's the woe is me's. Depression and stuff like that, mind battles can have us in a state where we feel like we're the only ones. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but it can have you, Satan can have your mind so warped that you think I'm the only one going through it. I'm the only one dealing with it. And saints of God sometimes allow the enemy to get their minds that way. But if you take on the Pentecostal experience, truly take on the Pentecostal experience, and you choose life, because it's a life or death situation, you have to make a choice, because you have been charged, but it's up to you to be found not guilty. Because if I had the subtitle, this would be charged but not guilty. You have not been found guilty if you take on the Pentecostal experience. There are a lot of people that come into this world that have been charged with the debt of sin, but yet they have not been delivered. They have not been set free from their sin. They are still in spiritual prison. They are not Paul and Silas, where they started singing praises, where they started praying and singing praises unto God. They didn't have that mindset. Some people don't have that mindset to get out of their spiritual prison. And they continue to live in the spiritual prison that they're in. And the Lord is saying, come unto me. All ye that are heavy laden, come unto me. The prison door is wide open, and yet they're still stuck in their bed. They're still stuck in their bed of prison. Like I said, so many people are in spiritual hunger and thirst. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. Let me know, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. If you are hungering today, if you are, this is how you'll know if you're hungry and you need the Pentecostal experience. This is how you know if your soul is hungry and thirsting after things. If you start grabbing, now there's nothing wrong with prospering in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. I commend people that prosper in their life naturally. But when you take your natural prosperity over your spiritual prosperity and your soul is not prospering, something is wrong. If you grabbing after this and grabbing after that, but your soul is still messed up, and you're still gravitating to the things that are of this world, you're still gravitating to the things that are probably bringing you temporary peace, but you ain't finding it, there's something wrong. You're still hungering. You're still thirsting. And this is what Jesus went to the cross for. He even said it on the cross, I thirst. The last of the seven words of Jesus, he said, I thirst. So you won't have to thirst. He said it for you. He took on your sins so that you will not have to be in the state that you're in. He said it for you. He said, I thirst. I thirst. The reason why he said I thirst is because sin, the sinful nature of our lives makes us thirsty. The sinful nature makes us hungry in our life, and it makes us gravitate to things to try to fill that empty and void place in our life. And our souls just need to be filled. Our souls just need to be filled. Our spirit just needs to be filled. Our spirit just is hungering and thirsting. That's our spirit hungering and thirsting. But we go after the drugs, and we go after the alcohol, and we go after the men and the women and the things of this world. But the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and what? Lose his soul. Why do you want to give up your soul? What is it about this thing that you're holding on to? What is it? Because if you give up that thing and just follow Christ, if you give up that thing and follow Christ, you know how much more your life, a blessing your life would be? Do you know how much your life will be such a blessing if you would just say, I surrender all. I surrender. I don't do nothing else, Lord. I surrender. I don't want nothing else. If I don't have you, I ain't got nothing. I surrender. I surrender all. There's an old song that says, all to Jesus, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my wants. I surrender my desires. I surrender. I give it all up just for you. The Bible lets us know that whosoever shall save their life shall lose it. If you trying to save the things that brings you temporary peace, you're going to lose your life. But if you give up the things for Christ's sake, you're going to find life eternal. You're going to find eternal life. Now, I want to do this. See, I'm doing this in a way the Lord leads me to. Because in life, and this is a life message, because I grew, like I've said before, I grew up underneath life preachers. I grew up underneath life preachers that will bring you the word of God and bring life today. Will bring the word of God and the Lord will give an outline on the word of God to give us help on the life issues of today. The word of God is a life book. Thing you need. You can find it in the Word of God. I'm going to say that again. Any answer you need, you can find it in the Word of God. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But any answer you need, I'm going to repeat myself a third time. Any answer you need for any situation that you are going through, you can find the answer in the Word of God. Why? You might say, well, Brother Adam, I can't find the issues of how my my, and I'm just using this as an example, y'all. I can't find the issues of my financial, of how to pay my bills. Okay, I'll show you. Pay your tithes. Pay your tithes. Speak over yourself. The Bible says life and death lie in the power of the tongue. Boom, there you go. I don't know how to get over this sickness. The doctor done told me that I got 6 months to live. The Bible says, in the word of God, it says he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I don't care what the doctor said. Well, what about my big decision that I got to make in life? I got to choose what job to take. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. These are just simple things that you know, that we're bringing out today, that the word of God can answer. If any man lack, you might say, well, why did you bring up if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God? Well, the reason why, you might have a big decision in life, but if you seek ye first the kingdom of God through prayer and fasting, you'll get the answer. But you have to have the Pentecostal experience to be able to understand what I'm talking about. Because our eyes in the natural cannot see past in the spiritual. We only see the carnal. Most people only see the carnal, what they can see before them. But in the spirit, I can see past the natural. I can see past the carnal. That is what the spirit does for me. That's why the Bible says in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Why is he pouring out his spirit? Because it is not God's will for us to be ignorant in the spirit or in the natural. There are some things, and I'm going to give you an example. My children are always wondering why I'm able to read them. And I'm not talking about no psychic reading and all that stuff. And not only because, it's not only because I'm their parent and I've been around them and all that stuff, but I can tell when they lying. And I tell my children that all the time. I can tell when you lying. I can tell when you telling the truth. I can tell when you telling a little white lie or whatever you want to call it. A lie is a lie. My oldest son one time got in some trouble one day. And now, mind you, I didn't know that he got in trouble that day. But something told me to ask him, how was school today? And I said, how was school today? And he was like, oh, everything was good. Everything was good. Now, I didn't talk to his teacher. I said, did you get in trouble today? And he looked at me like, how did you know I got in? Now, I didn't talk to his teacher, but the Holy Ghost let me know. The Holy Ghost let me know that he got in trouble. And I said, did you get in trouble today at school? And he looked at me. He said, no. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, he lying. The next day, his teacher called the house and said that he got in trouble for what he did. And my son said, well, how did you know? I said, the Holy Ghost lets me know. This is what life is about. This is why we need the Pentecostal experience, so that we can be guided through life. The Bible lets me know that when we have the Holy Ghost, we are under his shadow. Amen. Under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy what? Shield and buckler. What does that mean? He will be there to guide us, to lead us and guide us into everything that we go through. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Why? Because God's power is so great. It is so great that it's greater than anything that is in the world. It does not outdo. The things of this world does not outdo God's power, does not outdo God's ability. God is unlimited with ability. Now, I'm limited. Bishop Carver's limited. And I'm even going to go further than that. My pastor is limited. Man is limited. But God is unlimited. And with the power of the Holy Ghost, I can do all things, because the Bible says I can do all things through what? Through Christ that strengthened me.
Amen.
I can beat the devil. I can resist the devil. Because the Bible says if you resist the devil, he'll flee. I can resist him and he'll get away. I can call upon the name that is above every name. And those things will, those problems in my life will bow to the, to the feet of Jesus. We'll come up under subjection to the Holy Ghost. The weapons that he has given me, the authority that he has given me through the Holy Ghost, which is the Pentecostal experience. These problems that we have in our life will come up under subjection to the authority that God has given us. But we must come up under subjection. We must make a choice, because this is a life or death situation. This is a life or death situation. I don't know who this is for, but today you have to make a choice. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. You ain't got much time. Time waits for no man. Time waits for nobody. Time keeps going as we keep thinking, well, I got more time. Time keeps moving. But oddly enough, time's going to go away. Oddly enough, one day time's going to be done with. And you won't have no time. Now is the acceptable time to make a choice. You are in the middle. I don't know who I'm talking to. But I don't know if I'm talking to somebody in Africa, Belgium, Europe, whatever, in the United States, Canada, I don't know. But whoever I'm talking, I'm going to say it like my former pastor used to say, I'm talking to who I'm talking to today. You have to make a choice. It's either Jesus or it's Baal. What do you mean by Jesus or Baal? I mean, it's either going to be your flesh or it's going to be Jesus. It's either going to be the devil or it's going to be Jesus. You either say, for God I live and for God I die, or you serve, or you cannot serve two masters. You have to make a choice today. Right now, if you are in the land of the living, if you are listening to me, that's why I always say that at the start of the show, you are blessed because you are able to make a choice to choose. Whether or not, because ready or not, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming for a church that had made themselves ready. Ready or not, here he comes. You ever played that game? And I know we've all played that game as children, hide and seek. The person counts to 10 or to 20. And then they say, ready or not, here I come. But that's going to be some people in this world. Jesus is going to say, ready or not, here I come. And Jesus is going to show up. He's going to come. He's going to sound off that trumpet. And he's going to come get the church. And some people going to be left behind. And you're going to have to face the judgment. that waits. You're going to have to face the judgment when you could have taken the Pentecostal experience and avoided judgment. You're going to have to die for your own sins when you could have chosen to come up out of that sin, to come out of that prison and have life, that abundant life that is talked about in John 10, John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, I came to give you life. I came to give them life, and that more abundant life, that abundant life. What is the abundant life? That abundant life means not just in eternity, but naturally too, so that you can live a blessed life. And it ain't just because somebody has cars, money, and clothes don't mean that they have a blessed life, because they life could be so miserable. Look in Hollywood. That's why the Bible says what it says. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Because it's not about the thing. And even in the church, some people, they look blessed. They look blessed. They look so blessed. But they miserable. They letting the devil walk all over them. You better use your authority. If you got the genuine Holy Ghost, the way the Bible says, and if you received it like the day of Pentecost, you can have authority to come back. You have the authority to make a comeback. If you down right now, you have authority you better put on your spiritual armor and fight like never before. Fight for your life. Fight for your life. Because your life is more important than anything in this world. Mainly your soul is more important than anything in this world. Your soul is the most important thing that you have. Yes, you have money. Yes, you have a job. Yes, you have a career. Yes, you're in school. But guess what? All that doesn't mean nothing if your soul is in torment. Just go in the Word of God and look at the rich man. The rich man was tormented in flames. The rich man had it all. He had it all. He had everything that he wanted in this world, but yet his soul was in torment. When he died, he was in torment. He said, the flames torment me. Dude, what is it that you're holding on to? Right now, I want to get some comments from anybody, from the Spirit of Life family, anybody listening. I want y'all to chime on in here on this conversation, because this is a life or death situation. This is a life or death situation. We have been charged, but we can be found not guilty. So
praise the
at
Lord.
This time, I want the Spirit of Life family or anybody else that has anything to say, you can go ahead and leave your comment at this time in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, Minister Tuggle. How are you, man of God?
Praise the Lord. I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'll tell you that I'm always blessed, especially when we're reminded that God did so love the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And see, when we embrace the fullness of the apostolic experience, it is the beginning of power in our life. I remember in 2005 when I had a chance to go to Israel and I was in the place where they received the Holy Spirit in the upper room. It sounds is larger than it seems. We read about it. We're like, an upper room? How'd that many people fit in the upper room, right? And it's really a very large room. There's a picture. It's a place. It's an incredible place. And I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you on your Facebook so you can take a look at it. But what it reminded me, I was there, is that when that rushing mighty wind came in, and it said that they all spoke with tongues, but it said there was a sign. It said that there were cloven tongues like as a fire. And what that meant was that it was a specific thing to mark the beginning, that they were being baptized with fire, and fire came and it spread. The cloven part is when it was one source of fire, but it divided among all of them and sat upon their heads, right? And what it showed mm-hmm. was that how God had used language to divide mankind back at the Tower of Babel, but then he uses mm-hmm. language here at the day of Pentecost to unite mankind when they receive Christ as their master. And so what happened is you see this fire on all of the heads coming from one source. And so now today, when we have that apostolic experience and we speak in tongues, we are now in the heavenly body of believers, and we're speaking in our heavenly prayer language, and we are all connected by that same Holy Spirit that gives us access to that language that we don't understand, but we speak mm-hmm. what we from the Holy Spirit, and we speak to God because it needs to come through us back into heaven. And people have this idea that they're trying that God is trying to get them into heaven, and God is trying to actually get heaven out of us. But if we're not speaking in tongues, building ourselves up on our most holy faith, as it says in Jude, then we're not living in our spiritual reality the way that God is calling us to. So what it makes me think of is how the Apostle Paul, he said he spoke in tongues at all times, and he said he spoke in tongues more than any of his contemporaries. And when we think of the souls that he won, all of the things he endured, all of the persecutions he endured, it didn't stop him from going before kings, from going in prisons, from going on ships and ministering to everyone that he came in contact with. And for us, it's the same thing. When we are speaking in tongues daily, when we are building up our inner man, we speak in tongues to ourselves. We speak in tongues when we're in our car. We speak in tongues when we wake up. But then what God has blessed me with as well, and he'll bless everyone else with, just like he gives us the tongue, he gives us song. And so we can sing in tongues. And for me, I was like, wow, if I remembered how to write music, what it would be to document those songs that he gives me, because that's just time between me and him. I'm singing in tongues in my car. I'm singing in tongues when it's just me and him and I'm walking around by myself. And it's that kind of spiritual relationship with God that allows you to know who you are, to understand this is real and that you are growing, because just like everything else, the more you do it, the more proficient you become and the more dimensions of God's presence in your life God can show you. But that is just the foundational level. That is the beginning. So that Pentecostal experience is your birth. It's your evidence of birth, because it's like when you cry, when you are born in the natural, you know, they're looking for that cry. And if you don't come out with a cry, they'll spank you and you'll cry, you know. And so God wants to hear you speak to him and to be in that place where your communication is constant. It says that when we're speaking in tongues, it's perfect prayer. We're speaking the mighty words of works of God. It says we're interceding for the saints. It says we're building up our inner man on our most holy faith. All of those things we're doing through this one mighty act, and we have to embrace that. So I really appreciate you focusing on that day of Pentecost experience, and I am going to post that picture of the upper room on your Facebook, because I think it'll bless you. Thank you for this message, Minister Tobel.
I can't hear you, man of God. Are you on mute?